as we go forward tonight, thank you so much for what's been shared already and for your love for us. And Father, this time together that you've appointed from eternity past, Lord Jesus, we ask for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, that you would have free course to speak to us, and that you'd give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying to us individually, corporately. I ask for the anointing again to bring a word, a fresh word for each and every one that's here. And those, if it's taped, for those who will be listening, Father, a fresh word from your throne as we look to you, the fountain of the living waters of life that flow forth and quench our thirst. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, I think I'm going to do two focuses. And the first one, I'll start out with the one I shared today at today's Bible study on Wednesday afternoon. Three times through the weekend, first on radio, then Chris DePisa was quoting it and singing about it Sunday morning, and then it was brought up in the message and in my personal devotions. And I've been rehearsing this psalm in my head all week. And so I'm just going to share from it. Psalm 84, if you want to turn there, you can. Psalm 84. And I'm not going to quote the whole song. I'm just going to psalm. But just focus in on a couple thoughts from portions within that psalm. And I believe it's verse 6 says, "Blessed is the man who, going through the valley of Baca, makes it a well, the rain filling the pools." Okay, blessed is the man going through the valley of Baca, makes it a well, depending on your translation, and the rain filling the pools. Now, I'm gleaning from past teaching that I've been exposed to, and my understanding is that the Valley of Baca is referencing a Valley of Weeping, W-E-E-P-I-N-G. And it's a time of experiential state where God is working, and it brings us to a point where in our experience, because of the circumstances, we may be broken. And the idea, I believe, that's being imparted and emphasized from the Spirit here is it speaks to the man that does the right thing with those times, and that one of the things he has the opportunity to do is to choose to allow God to work through that experience to expand our capacity and to establish a well of refreshing, a well of reference that we can draw from in the future. And I believe that's why he goes on to say also, the rain filleth the pools. And the rain speaking of the blessing of God, the provision of God. From an agricultural background, I remember when President Trump was inaugurated, it rained on that day, and a lot of people thought that was a problem, okay? But actually, it's a sign from God. And Franklin Graham brought that out at that time, that rain was actually a signature of God, because rain means that the crops can grow in the heat. And when the heat comes, and there's two passages in the Word, Jeremiah speaks of it. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and his focus is on the Lord, and he abides in the Spirit and relies on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word says that that when the heat comes, he doesn't feel the heat. We find this in Psalm chapter 1, talking about the man that's blessed. It starts right out, Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed, Baruch, in the Hebrew, defined as power, fertility, and ability to succeed. Power, fertility, and ability to succeed. Baruch, blessed. And for you and I, basically a crowd here tonight is a crowd of disciples. And as we abide in the Lord and look to the Lord and trust in Him, we're blessed. We're blessed. And when I think of that word blessed and that Hebrew word, Baruch, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, I'm probably butchering it, but it's B-A-R-R-U-K, I believe, in the Hebrew. Again, whenever I open up that first psalm and read, I think of that definition. Power, the power of God, fertility, being able to produce, power, fertility, and the ability to what? Succeed. And all coming from the idea of rain, rainfall, and the rain of God, provision of God. And if you read Psalm 1, study it on your own, it talks about us being like trees planted next to a river, and our roots are deep-seated and drawing from the rivers of the waters of life that flow forth from God, who is the fountain. And when the heat comes, we're like that tree, or the crops are planted on riverbed ground. Generally speaking, it's very fertile soil, and the roots go deep. And when the heat comes, there's water from the water, from the river, and the roots are able to drink from that water, living waters of refreshing. And having gone there, I just want to, I'm going to jump to Psalm 46. Now, in Psalm 46, we have a scripture that we're well familiar with. It's Psalm 46, verse 10. And it says, to be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. And if you study the eisegetics of Psalm 46, 10, and the whole Psalm 46, Psalm 46 is a commentary. I believe it's from King Hezekiah. And he's actually reflecting on what God had done when God had delivered him. And in this psalm, you find a portion there that talks about the waters of provision. And when you study it, now if I'm correct, I'm doing all this from spontaneous from memory right now. The city had been surrounded and under siege, and they didn't know what they were going to do, and they were experiencing siege and famine. And they prayed to God, and I think it's King Hezekiah, where they prayed to God, and God sent an angel and took out 185,000 of the enemy. But if you look at what was going on within the city, their supply had been cut off, but the king had done this. The king, when they built the walls and established the city, had taken and dug an underground water pipe. And they put in underground water pipe at that time that went from the center of the city under the walls to a underground spring a long ways away. And that spring, underground, undisclosed to the enemy, is what provided the living waters that sustain those that were under the siege. And in Psalm 46, you'll find reference to that. And when he says, be still and know that I am God, he's actually reflecting on what God had done. And when he says, be still and know that I am God, in verse 10, it's being written from the perspective. If you haven't studied it before and not aware of it, when you understand what I just brought out, you understand the perspective from which it's being written. And the king is just reflecting on God's provision, the living waters of life, during a time of siege and embattlement, when the enemy was trying to take them out. And God moved on their hand, on their behalf, and it's one of the passages where God fought the battle for them. I haven't shared all that back to Psalm 84, again, blessed is the man who going through the valley of Baca makes it a well, the rain filling the pools. And then it goes on to say that our Lord is a sun and a shield, a strong tower. I'm paraphrasing now. But our Lord is a sun and a shield, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly, verse 11. And it closes out with, blessed, again, blessed is the man that trusts in him. So now I'm going to shift a little bit, but I believe it'll correlate and come together as we progress. As I was approaching the pulpit tonight, I thought I was going to go into more of the message that I shared earlier today, but the Holy Spirit began to move, and as I was yielding myself to him, I believe this is what he impressed upon me. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 6. Now, much of what I'm sharing and where we're going are areas that we have been taught in, that we, many of us, know well. But again, as we've been taught well, to take and give an ear to what the Spirit is emphasizing and speaking to you tonight. And we should always, when we hear the word, never, ever allow ourselves to say, well, I know that. Never become familiar with it as it's coming forth. But again, our expectation is of God. So it's not what I have to say, but rather what is God saying through me? Will you hear from him tonight and receive the portion that he has for you that's fresh from the throne, fresh from that fountain? God is that fountain. Jeremiah again in Revelation 22, God is the fountain from which forth from whom the waters of the living waters of life flow that quench our thirst and provide for us. We all need that water. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10, 10 is a highlighted number coming up tonight. But Ephesians 6:10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And without getting into a lot of Greek and emphasis and grammar tenses and that, just as it says in English, it's in a command form in the original language. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. For it goes on to say that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual rulers in heavenly realms and high places. And if you will, again, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, with the God of this world with a small g. That's who we are up against. We are not up against, although the enemy will use people, and it may be people that we're dealing with. You know, you can list a whole different realm of circumstances and attacks that come in and different strategies the enemy launches against us. But more often than not, one of the things we have to deal with is the reality that when Satan gets a hold of people, we've got flesh and blood in our face. But the Word of God says our battle is not against flesh and blood. And I heard once a preacher say, well, no, you got flesh and blood in your face, so that's not true. Yes, it is true. God's word says it's true. What the author is trying to get across here in the Holy Spirit is that when people are under the influence as a puppet in Ephesians chapter 2, the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, those that are unsaved and those that are walking in carnality and have been ensnared by the enemy, even as believers, become puppets to the enemy. And the enemy uses them as vessels to speak through, to act through. And we have to understand that in those times, when we realize that we are dealing with someone who is under the influence of the enemy, that even though it's them in flesh and blood that is coming against us, our battle isn't against them. And we need to go to the cross, and we need to die, and let God use us and empower us through the embracement of the cross to let him supply us with what we need to overcome what the enemy is doing. Remember, one of the seven things that Jesus said when he was on the cross is, as they were casting lots for his garments and he was hanging on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And "Father, forgive them, for they know what not what they do." And now I'm thinking of Psalm 119, I think it's 105, says, "Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. How can that be unless we are embracing the cross? Because at times the enemy is going to get a hold of people, and he is going to put flesh and blood in our face, and that flesh and blood is going to inflict wounds. Because it's not them that's speaking through us, but rather they are a mouthpiece of Satan, and Satan knows just what to say, what buttons to push, and how to inflict and bring an offense and a wound if he can accomplish it, if you're not walking in the Spirit and relying on God and aligning with the cross. That's what the enemy is trying to do. And we've got to be able to look to God and understand when that flesh and blood is in our face, that it's not them, that it's the enemy working through them. And our battle is not against them, but it is against the enemy that is puppeteering them. Ephesians chapter 2 again. Okay? And so, and it means that we need to die. Die to self and let God work through us through resurrection life, empowering us to overcome whatever it is that's come against us. Just like I referenced King Hezekiah, there are times, and I'll balance this, more often than not, we have to use the references that God's given us, and God, through the Holy Spirit, will give us the ability of grace to speak and engage and deal with whatever's taking place. But sometimes our place is just to love unconditionally, and speak the truth in love without compromise under the anointing of the Spirit. Not hold back our sword from blood, but let God fight the battle for us. And there's going to be times, and that means we just keep it zipped. And we just love you, and I'm not even going to respond. And, you know, as the enemy is working through them, remember that. I'll never forget this. I use this quite often. The Holy Spirit brings it to remembrance. Keith Green, years and years ago, about 30 years ago, wrote a song. And in that song, he used these lyrics. He put it in the form of a question. He says, "Why did it have to be a friend that had to betray the Lord?" And then he comes back in the lyrics in the course of the song later on. He says, "Only a friend can betray a friend. A stranger has nothing to gain. And only a friend can ever get close enough to ever cause so much pain." And he was speaking about Judas Iscariot and Jesus. Only a friend could get close enough to ever, through betrayal, to ever cause so much pain. And in the same way with Judas Iscariot. I mean, really, you know, he ended up realizing that he was pawned, used as a pawn. Who was it that was working through him? Satan, okay? And who is Satan after? Jesus. And what does Satan try to do? He tries to come after us the same way, through people. And so, and what's behind the people or the table of an organization, maybe you're dealing with the government sometimes, and you got government representatives, and they're telling you the way it is, and you're like, oh, you wanna pick up arms. And but it's part of the world system under the God of this world. Again, not flesh and blood, even though you like to ring the person that's standing in front of you. But it's our battle is not against flesh and blood. And what does God say? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God. And I would have you to study the full armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6. We don't have time for it tonight. But again, as we've learned, we come together, the Holy Spirit's moving and speaking. He gives us an outline. Specifics, we'll hear from God if you're listening. and specifics, but an outline for a smorgasbord in personal study if you go home and take it. Ephesians chapter 6, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And you know, I'm going to say this, just I'll take out one aspect of the armor of God that's described by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6. It's the shield of faith, okay? It says, take up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And there are going to be times when we are called upon as brothers and sisters to stand in the gap with the shield of faith for a fallen comrade. I'll use that term. The Roman soldier's shield of faith was designed not only to protect the soldier, and it was designed in such a way to I forgot the exact perimeters, but the Roman's battle armament shield was designed to, and he was taught to hold a certain amount of square footage on the front line. And they would line up in rows, and you'd have this front wall of the shields, you know, the enemy would be facing. But it was large enough that if one of his fellow comrades or soldiers were to fall and fall prey to the incoming, that he could pull his comrade alongside his soldier, his brother or sister, I'll put it in that application, in under his shield and cover them. And sometimes when we have someone that's being puppeted and they're in our face and they're being a mouthpiece for Satan and they're under the wiles of the enemy, back to Ephesians 6, 10, 11, 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the wiles, King James, the wiles, W-I-L-E-S, the wiles of the enemy. This is translated from the Greek word methodia, where you get the idea of methods. When you study it and get the definition on it, the wiles or the methodia of the enemy is specific strategic strategy of ensnarement that the enemy knows that he lays out like a snare for a bird and or for an animal, but a snare for a bird is what I'm thinking. And he knows that, and he puts a bait in it, and he knows that if that bird takes the bait and steps into the snare, he's going to pull that snare, and that bird is entrapped. And when that bird's entrapped, he can't get away, and he knows it'll produce the outcome once the bird takes the snare. And that's what a methodia is, or a wile. It's a specific strategic strategy that has, if we take the bait or fall prey to the trap, Satan knows that it'll produce the outcome that he intends it to produce within the person that is caught by it. And we as soldiers are to take on the full armor of God, and there are times when we need to put up the shield of faith and take in a fallen soldier who's been ensnared by the methodia and stand and cover them and help them, intercede for them, perhaps even fast and pray for them. And most of all, to understand and get it down, our battle isn't against them that are being used against us. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. And put on the full armor, intercede, love them unconditionally. If you have to, and generally speaking, God will, in his strategy to deal with it, will lead you to the cross. And the cross, again, it represents death, death to self. Pastor Moore recently said from the pulpit, in loving, in the message entitled Love Never Fails, he says, somebody has to die. And so we have to go to the cross. We have to get grace so that we can say with the assurance of the Spirit of who we are in Christ, because it's coming from the Father and Jesus is being manifest in us through his Spirit, we can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We won't be offended no matter what is being said, no matter how much it hurts, no matter how real it is, we'll be able to withstand it. We'll be able to take the beating because it won't be us taking the beating, it'll be Christ manifest in us, producing and manifesting resurrection life that overcomes what the enemy is doing. And Jesus went to the cross and died in our place for us. And there are times the cross will mean we have to die for others. But in dying, we will release the resurrection life that'll save them and deliver them from the snares and the plan of the enemy against their lives. And that's a beautiful thing. If you study fasting and prayer back in Isaiah 58, it's a full commentary onto it. One of the beautiful promises there is that we will be used of God to loose the bands of wickedness. It's those methyl D is New Testament. And God may call upon us to do that. Because why? We are in the front lines of spiritual warfare. And so I just want to encourage you tonight to really press in to get to know God and to press in to the point where you're receiving the living waters of life, to whereby you are like that tree planted next to the river. And when the heat comes, you won't even feel it. But rather, you'll keep producing fruit. And in some cases, the fruit that you'll be used to produce will be the fruit of salvation that saves and delivers somebody else. How? Through the cross and the enablement of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ and our Lord. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Stand firm, fight, okay? Fight the good fight of faith. I'll close with this. 1 Peter 5:7 says we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt us in due time. And then it says we are to resist the devil, and what must the devil do?
Flee.
That's right. But he won't flee if you're passive. He won't flee if you're just sitting back and saying, oh, it's not worth it. He won't flee if you're not willing to lay down your life for your friend. You've got to resist him. And God wants us to resist him. Bear with me a second or two more, okay? God wants us to resist the enemy, knowing that we are more than conquerors in Romans chapter 8. The enemy must flee from us. And the victory is ours if we will walk on the inspiration and empowerment of the Holy Spirit and die at the cross and let Christ live through us. Amen?
Amen.
Father, I ask you to take these thoughts and empower us to rescue those that are caught and to prevail in the battle, that we might possess the victories that you have for us by the power of your Spirit. Pastor Moore said this recently. In the last message, I think he preached, God has not given us a spirit of fear. 1 Timothy 1:7-9. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Christ, or you're here tonight, I can't see who's out in the crowd, and you haven't received Christ by faith yet, you need to do that. Would you pray with me and just pray, simple prayer, but pray it from your heart to the Spirit, through the Spirit, to God the Father, in the name of Jesus. Dear Jesus, you died for me on the cross. You paid for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and save me and make me a child of God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. That's all, folks.